the all-new Hot 107.9, Philly's hottest station for hip-hop and R&B. Welcome to On Your Mind with Mia Mendez. And right now, I have the founder and music director of Black Pearl Chamber Orchestra, correct?
That is correct.
Yes. In the studio with me, Jerry Lynn Johnson. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Mia. It is such a pleasure to be with you.
I'm glad you're here. This is very exciting. I've actually never spoken to anybody who was involved with an orchestra. It sounds like so fancy to me.
You know, it's fancy, but it's also a lot of fun. You know, that's how we roll at Black Pearl.
I definitely believe that. I mainly only see orchestra type performances, unfortunately, on television or like award shows and things of that nature.
Sure.
So it always looks like hard work.
You know what? It is a lot of hard work, but you know, we have a lot of fun playing in the orchestra. And I think that's what makes Black Pearl so wonderful is all of our musicians, you know, first of all, we are diverse. So that's kind of our niche. Kind of in the classical music market, we have musicians who are African-American, Latino, Caucasian, Asian, Middle Eastern. We have, you know, the true diversity of Philadelphia in the orchestra. And we really get along. We have a lot of fun playing together. And we just kind of just bring our heart and soul to the music every time we get up there on stage, because we want the audience to just feel that magic the way that we would. That we do.
Yeah. And live music does that. You know, live anything does that, whether it's like a play, if you're in the house live.
And feeling that energy between the performers. And you, it's just, it's special. Yeah. It's really special.
This just popped in my head. So how many musicians would it take to make up an orchestra? Mm. Like, is there a minimum amount of people? Like, this is an orchestra, this many.
Sure. Well, you know, you can have any number of musicians form an ensemble of different sizes. So if you have four people, that's a quartet. So you'll see like a string quartet. Okay. You go up in the numbers like 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, quintet, sextet, you know, you kind of go up in numbers. Once you get to about kind of 15, something like that, it's more of like a small kind of chamber orchestra size ensemble. And so a chamber orchestra is just the same almost as a symphony orchestra. It's just there's fewer players.
Okay.
And there might not be as many instruments. So like the Philadelphia Orchestra is a big symphonic orchestra that have like 100 members or something like that. Yeah. Black Pearl is not quite that large. We're a chamber orchestra. And these were actually the earliest orchestras. So like, you know, rich kings and queens or dukes and duchesses back in Europe, you know, in the 1700s, 1800s, they had money, they had wealth, and part of the things that they supported, they were the original patrons of the arts. And so they would have their own kind of, you know, court chamber orchestra that would perform literally in their chambers. So those were the first orchestras. Yeah.
So talk to everyone about the event you have coming up. And this is actually this afternoon.
Yeah.
It'll be this afternoon at 4 p.m. Where will it be held?
Well, we are performing at one of our favorite venues in the city, the Philadelphia Episcopal Cathedral at 38th and Chestnut. It's very beautiful inside. Yeah. We love performing there at 4 o'clock. And this is an exciting concert for us because we're going to be working with one of the oldest choirs in the city. It's the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia.
Nice.
And they also have a rich tradition of diversity in their ensemble as well.
Okay.
And so we're doing a big collaborative concert with them where my orchestra is performing and the choir is performing and we're doing a couple pieces together. It's mostly an all Beethoven program because, you know, everybody loves Beethoven.
Yeah.
My theory is that, you know, he uses a lot of bass in his music.
Yes.
That's kind of why I enjoy him so much.
Okay. Yeah, I was
like, seriously,
ask
like,
that,
he's got kind of a kick and bass line, you know, for classical music, but it's a lot of fun. And so, you know, the piece that we're doing with the Mendelssohn Club, it's something called Beethoven's Choral Fantasy. There's going to be a huge chorus there and my orchestra. And I have to say, we really fill out that cathedral. It's a beautiful sight.
That sounds beautiful. It really does. So I wanted to ask you, I think everyone has heard of Beethoven, you know, whether you are into classical music or not, you've heard of Beethoven. So is Beethoven like one of those signature artists or musicians that someone in an orchestra or learning how to play an instrument is trying to get to, like, I want to perfect Beethoven?
Yeah. Well,
would you
know,
say that?
It's funny that you say that. I think Beethoven is one of those composers who has become kind of like a household name. Like, even if you don't go to an orchestra thing, you've heard the term Beethoven before. And almost everyone knows, like Beethoven 5. Like, even if they've never really heard the whole symphony, they know those four famous notes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Beethoven is one of those kind of household names that everyone loves. And he is an inspiring composer. And he was actually the composer that inspired me when I was a very little girl to want to learn music. I was already studying piano at the age of 4. And some family friends took me to see my first orchestra concert when I was 7, and it was Beethoven, some symphony that they were performing, and I fell in love.
Yeah.
You know, it was gorgeous.
I'm so jealous. The piano is something that I have always said I wanted to learn, even when I was
too late.
Thank you. And what happened to me is I went to St. Helena's here in Philly, mm-hmm. and at the time that I was there, they did not offer a piano in music. So I took the flute for like a year. I took the flute for a year because someone said to me, well, it's the same notes. I don't know if that's even true.
I hear you. It is kind of the same notes, but it's different from a piano because, you know, I'm a pianist. I got to support piano, but flute is nice too.
Exactly.
Flute is
great. Like, who told me that? But yeah, so I took the flute for a little over a year. I did enjoy it, but it was just that that was not the instrument I really wanted. I just did it because piano wasn't offered.
Right.
And yeah, so I've always said that piano is something that I would like to learn. And being so, you said you started when you were 4.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that was a question I was going to ask you because recently Alicia Keys was interviewed and she talked about her son, Egypt, being on the piano and loving the piano. And he's only 2.
Yep.
So I was like, is it even possible to learn at that young of an age?
You know, it is possible to young. First of all, you know, I think people don't realize that your heart is, you know, rhythm is the first music that you have in your life. It's your heartbeat.
Oh, awesome.
And it's something that from your mother's heartbeat that you hear in the womb. And so just the music, the sound is such an important part of our lives. I think people don't realize from the very beginning of our lives. So it is possible for a very young child like Egypt to fall in love and start out on the piano. Now, the funny thing is, you know, you see kids start out on instruments like violins or viola or something, and they have instruments that are sized down for smaller fingers. And you see these little tiny violins that kids carry. They don't have that for kids. They don't have little tiny pianos
for kids. Right.
And then as you get bigger, you kind of have to start out on just a full-grown piano. But, you know, there's actually, I want to give a shout out to a great organization that many people may have heard of called Musicopia.
Okay.
They're a great organization, and they're actually looking for instrument donations for kids, you know, as young as Egypt to get that exposure to. Because like you said, you know, maybe some schools may not have instruments at their disposal. So if anyone has like a violin or a guitar or a flute they're not using anymore, you know, something that you may have that you're not using, you know, donate it to Musicopia. You can find them online, musicopia.org.
Yes.
It's a great organization, but they're looking for instruments to give to kids so they can start. And they also offer lessons and go into the schools and stuff. So,
awesome.
But they give kids those instruments. So if you have something laying around in your attic or your garage or something, please give it to Musicopia.
Awesome. I'm going to get on this piano thing. I've been saying this all my life. I got to get it together. I will get my life together.
We'll talk after the show. I'll hook you up. Yeah.
So, this is a girly question, but as far as piano, so you can't have long nails, right? This is such a girly question.
You cannot have.
That's okay. I'm not one of those girls that likes like claws anyway.
No.
I get like simple little manicures.
Exactly.
I don't do the whole.
Well, you always want to look good.
Yeah. I them to look presentable.
No, you can't because it's just all you hear is the clicking.
Right.
On the keys.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. We're learning today. Okay. So again, make sure today at the Cathedral, Beethoven and Gill is the actual title of this event.
Exactly. That's the title of the concert. So you can go on our website, which is blackpearlco.org, and under events, and you can, you know, find about information for tickets for our concert, or you can call us at 215-717-7103 for tickets for this Sunday's concert, actually. Or you can just come right to the Cathedral at 4 o'clock and you can buy tickets at the door.
Right.
That's easiest. Please just come to the concert. I'm sure we can accommodate you. I'm hoping, you know, we typically sell out pretty quickly. So if
sounds
you want
like
to come, you know, it might be best to get your tickets early, but if not, you can try to get them at the door as well.
Yeah.
It's a great concert because, again, Beethoven is one of those awesome composers everyone knows, but we're also doing a new piece by a Philadelphia composer, Jeremy Gill, that's a big choral piece as well that I think the audience is really going to enjoy. It's beautiful. Again, it's got the big chorus singing, the orchestra's playing. It's a really great piece. So I think people are going to find something old, something new at this concert.
So what's the dress code for something like this? Like, I don't know. I picture fancy when I think of orchestra. So,
you know, everybody, and I think I think that's part of what may keep people away from a lot of classical music concerts is they feel like they got to be all dressed up.
Right.
And you can't clap at certain times, or you got to really be fancy and kind of restricted. And, you know, Black Pearl, we want you to come as you are.
Okay.
You know, if you're coming from church and brunch and relax, you know, come in your church clothes, that's fine. But, you know, if you're coming and you just want something fun and bring the family to, a lot of people bring their kids to our concerts. We love that.
Yeah.
The kids are never a problem. I have to say, we've had kids at all of our concerts. They've always been very well behaved.
Awesome.
And very quiet. And, and we love that because we want kids to get used to coming to these concerts and get used to seeing that there are Black people, there are Latino people, there are Asian people who look just like them, who do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, and just really expose them to a lot of different things. So just come as you are. There's no dress code.
Awesome.
Just get ready to enjoy some great music.
Yeah. So you have actually had Black Pearl since 2007?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and what does it take to even begin an orchestra? Like, how long was this a thought in your mind or an aspiration for you?
Right. Well, you know, I've been conducting for a while and, you know, trying to get jobs all around. And part of kind of the seed that kind of started Black Pearl was, you know, I'd been taking auditions around at a lot of existing orchestras around the country. Yeah. And one orchestra said that they could not hire me as their music director because I didn't look like what their audience expected.
OMG, they're allowed to say that?
Oh my God, gee. Yes, you know, fortunately for them, I did not, you know, sue them or anything like that. But, you know, I could have taken that, you know, in one direction and been really angry and bitter and gone the legal route.
Yeah.
But I chose a different path and I said, you know what? Thank you for being honest, because they didn't have to be honest with me.
Right.
You know, they could have just said, oh, you just weren't talented or we just were looking for something else. But they said, literally, we loved you. Your conducting is great. Your ideas are wonderful. The board likes you. You just don't look right for the part, essentially.
Oh.
And so what I understood that was, you know what? I've got the talent. I've got the drive. I have an opportunity now to prove that when orchestras are struggling to find an African-American audience or a Latino audience or Beethoven or Mozart or, you know, African-American composers, there are people who listen to this out there, but they don't see themselves represented on the stage.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel connected to the art form that way. And it's kind of, you know, the timing was so interesting because you had, you know, now President Barack Obama and then candidate, you know, Hillary Clinton running against one another. And so I think, you know, in 2008, when we really got going, people's ideas of what a leader looks like were really changing.
That's awesome.
And so back when those people told me that in early 2007, I don't think they really foresaw what was coming in the country. So maybe now they might have revised that idea. But it really inspired me. And it was perfect timing for the orchestra because people have embraced Black Pearl and seen, you know, and that's why we encourage people to bring their little kids. People bring their kids who are already studying music, but maybe they don't go to a lot of concerts or they don't feel welcome in other orchestras because, again, like I said, they don't see themselves represented in the process.
Yeah.
And so our audience is just as diverse as Philadelphia, which is very unusual for classical music. So
I think so too.
Excited because we have young, we have old, we have, you know, people who may not have ever been to a concert before in their lives and say, oh, I don't like classical music. And then they get to our concert and like the energy is so kind of contagious and exciting that we convert them.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I was thinking this last night as I was preparing for you to come in. There are people, especially for Hot 107.9, you know, it's a hip hop and R&B station. So maybe if you're listening, you're not someone who ever thought you would like classical music. But I would think that if you just think of some soundtracks to movies, you know, that background music that you hear that you might be so into, and like I said, award shows that were just recently, the Grammys, award shows and things that we watch, and you're so in awe because I see it on Twitter, social media, like loving the performance.
Yeah.
If the sound system sounds great, that's what that is. So I think if you just connect the dots.
Well, you know, also I when Jay-Z did his concert at Carnegie Hall, you know, I was the conductor for that, and they had a full orchestra for that.
I didn't know.
Yes, because you know the Roots were the backup band, and then I was conducting, and so people don't realize like classical music and hip hop. You know, there is a natural connection because sometimes you know you don't want to just have strings, you know, on a keyboard represented. You want to have the actual string sound. And so actually, a lot of our musicians have worked with Jill Scott and stuff on their tracks in the studio to give that live string sound. So, you know, classical music and hip hop, there is a connection there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that was some fun. One of my close girlfriends,
Tania, she's gonna be so upset. She wanted me to go to Carnegie Hall so badly, and just because of work scheduling and being in Philly, because I do go to New York often, I wasn't able to, and she's gonna be so mad when she hears this. I'm like feeling so bad.
It was hot.
I know. I saw, you know, we saw a little bit of footage online once the performances were done. That's awesome.
That was a great time.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to On Your Mind with Mia Mendez. And I have Jerry Lynn Johnson, who is the founder and music director of Black Pearl Chamber Orchestra. We're discussing the event going on later on this afternoon, 4 p.m. at Cathedral. So what else do you want to do with your talent? Like, what are some other goals for you?
Well, you know, I have a lot of goals for myself, but I also, you know, I want to conduct, you know, other orchestras. I just made my Philadelphia Orchestra debut not too long ago. That was a lot of fun. So, you know, I want to go on to, you know, larger orchestras. I want to conduct orchestras all around the world. And, you know, so people need to get to know Black Pearl and get to know me and that kind of stuff. And that's happening. And it's a great time. But also I want to use Black Pearl to kind of bring along the next generation of young Black women conductors so that they don't hear the
what
words
you heard,
that
yeah.
I heard. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to really... So, I mean, that's part of the mission of Black Pearl is it's not just we love to perform. We really do a lot of education and outreach for the reasons that I just stated.
Yeah.
So that these kids coming up who may play an instrument, but maybe they don't see some of their peers doing the same thing, or maybe they think they're weird because they like classical music, or they don't know anyone else who does.
Yeah.
They've got mentors who look like them.
Okay.
And we do a lot, like, you know, E. Stephen Collins came and conducted. And, you know, we like to put the baton in people's
That's
hands.
So
and we
funny.
Do that for a lot of little kids. And so we've actually started a campaign called Pass the Baton.
Oh my gosh.
Which is, and this is, you know, for $25, people can just support our education and outreach, and you can go on our website, and we've got great pictures of, we've been doing this now for 3 or 4 years, of just going into schools, working with kids, either at a one-time thing where we go into the school for the day at like an assembly sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we also do an after-school program in some, you know, neighborhoods like Northeast, Northwest Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, where... You know, like I said, it's an after-school program. It's in a safe environment. Kids come there two or three days a week for a couple hours a day.
Okay.
Our musicians are there. And we're teaching leadership, executive functioning skills, like communication skills, because that's really what conducting is. And so it's not so much that we're training up young conductors and like they're going to be conductors of orchestras someday.
Right.
But, you know, you need to know how to interact with the world.
Absolutely.
How to get respect, how to give respect, how to communicate with your peers, with other people. These are the kind of things, and they just have fun learning it while doing music.
Yeah.
And we're there for like 12 weeks with these kids, and then we'll do another session for 12 weeks with a whole new set of kids.
Okay.
And they love it. I have to say, it's been an amazing program. So Pass the Baton, $25 puts a baton in a kid's hand.
Aww.
It's a great program.
So all of this is on the website as well?
It's all on our website. There's actually on our website, blackpearlco.org. There's actually one of the tabs on it just called Pass the Baton. You can see it right on our website.
And you also mentioned to me that even this afternoon at the cathedral, you're doing some outreach and education. They can bring a book?
We are. Yeah. Okay. I think, you know, orchestras have a great obligation to really, especially with the school district, you know, having some difficulties. We like to support the school district and by, you know, our music education. We work very closely with them to coordinate a lot of our music education efforts. But, you know, reading is important, too. Mm-hmm. I used to love to read and just get lost in a book. And so we've partnered with Treehouse Books just for this concert.
Okay.
Treehouse is over in North Philadelphia near Temple's campus. It's a beautiful organization that provides a safe place for kids to come and read. It's like a kind of, I think they call it like an urban literary cafe where the kids can come out. It's so cute. And it's a great space where kids can read. And so they just need more books. They let the kids take books home. They give out books to kids. So they need books that are especially focused for young readers, but also have African-American characters or stories in them.
Okay.
So they can see, you know, their own lives reflected in the literature that they're reading. It's a great organization. So just If you come to our concert this Sunday, bring a book for a kid. We'll give you $5 off on your ticket at our next concert.
Nice.
So we can, you know, just stay in touch with you. And just like I said, you're going to support two great organizations. You're going to see a great concert.
Yeah.
You're going to get a kid to read. It's a great combination.
So how long is the event? I don't know. It starts at 4.
It starts at 4.
So how long is something like this go on for?
Sure. Well, you know, our philosophy is we like to leave people wanting more.
Yes.
You know, so it's not going to be too long. So the concert starts at 4. There'll be probably about a 10 to 15 minute intermission so that people can get up, maybe get a drink of water, use the restroom if they need to. Then we'll start back up. People will be out of there by like 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's like going to the movies. It's like a movie time.
Right. It's like going to, because again, like I said, we want you to fall in love with this and then want to come back to the next one. We don't want you to be like, yeah, and
I'll be here, yeah.
I'm thankful that I'm out here right now. Because, you know, it's a long day for people. You've been at church, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had brunch. And I know, you know, those waffles are sitting.
Yes,
you know,
and all of you.
Kind of, you want to take a nap or something. This is going to energy. Let me tell you something. You cannot sleep on Beethoven.
Absolutely not. Just a little that I've heard. Absolutely not. So is anyone going to be doing like a solo? Do they do solo perform, or do you do solo?
You know, at this concert, there's not going to be a solo performance. There is a pianist featured. She's a beautiful pianist. Ching Yong Hoon is her name.
Okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She's a wonderful Chinese pianist.
Nice.
Who's going to be featured in some of the pieces that we're doing. She will be doing some solo work during that. But there's not going to be just one person on an instrument by themselves. It is literally the orchestra and the chorus. So I'm actually conducting on the first half. And then because we're partnering with Mendelssohn Club, their conductor, Maestro Alan Harler, is doing the second half. So we're kind of tag teaming.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. And okay, so you love the piano. Mm-hmm. Are there other instruments that you play? Just over the years learned other things?
Or? I can sing. I've been asked not to.
No.
That's another thing. But conductors, we have to know all the orchestra
instruments.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. You have to know.
I don't actually play them all. I did study the viola and the violin at a certain point just because I wanted to technically know. Those are kind of the most active instruments, the string instruments in the orchestra that are the most active. Of course, the woodwind and brass and percussion. And I have played the triangle in a couple of orchestral productions. Don't be fooled. It's actually harder than you think to play the triangle. You think you just stand at the triangle and you kind of bang on the triangle, but there's actually like a whole technique
to
it. It's harder than it looks. I got schooled on that by the percussion guys. Because I went like, I can play the triangle. I don't need a lesson. They're like, okay. And I messed that joint all up at the first So it's harder than it looks. But, you know, you learn. And because, you know, the trick is I need to let them be the experts on what they do so well. Like I don't ever walk in and be like, clarinet, I think you should be doing this. But what I tell them is I say, look, I'm creating the vision for the sound of the totality of all the instruments. And this is what I want. How can you help me achieve that? And so I rely on their expertise a lot to kind of get that done.
Yeah.
So,
you must have a really good ear. I'm just thinking like even to an all of, you know, when everyone is playing at one time to be able to even hear like something, I don't know, off tune. And would you automatically know what instrument it is, or do you just hear something off tune?
No. You know what instrument it is. But again, I think people don't understand. You know, when you study the violin, you can practice your violin for years and years or hours and hours a day.
Yeah.
Starting at the age of 4.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, like Egypt, you can start practicing piano at 2 and everything. But when you're a conductor, you know, everybody thinks the baton is the instrument, but it isn't. The baton doesn't make any sound.
Right.
The orchestra is my instrument. And that's the instrument that I play. That's what makes the music.
Yeah.
And so in order for me to practice on my instrument, which is the orchestra, I got to get 80 people in a room for 8 hours a day. And so that's why conducting is something that as you get older, you get better at, because you're just building up those hours of practice on the group of people.
Yeah.
And so it is something, you know, that ability to listen and pick certain things out, and also just to talk to people and communicate effectively.
Yeah.
That's it. It takes years to kind of master the thing. You know, moving your arms around and knowing the music.
That's what we always see.
That's what you see. But, you know, most of our job is done by the time that people see the concert. We're just kind of, we're making pretty shapes in the air for most of the part. You know, and then because you think the concert, but really the work has been, you know, the hours that we spend by ourselves studying the music, learning every single instrument, what they have to do.
Yeah.
And then in the rehearsal where we're putting all the parts together and shaping the music, that's really where the hard work is.
So is there, is there any music that you don't know yet that you are
trying to learn that you want to learn?
Mia. There's so many pieces I don't know. And when I say, I've heard them, like, of course, I love
them.
Okay,
yeah.
But
haven't had the chance.
I haven't studied them and ready to conduct them.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, I mean, there's lots of music that I know, of course, but, you know, to say that I'm ready to conduct it and I've done it before is an entirely different thing. So, conductors are constantly, I mean, we have 400 years of music to know and be ready. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I know and I'm ready to do like right now.
Right.
Like, you know, I've been studying.
Yeah.
But there's always more to learn. And then there's always music that's being written. And that's the fun part too, is it's music is continually being created.
Yeah. Oh, this is so fun. Yeah. I'm like excited for you. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
Please make sure you attend this afternoon at the Philadelphia Cathedral, Beethoven and Gil. You need to be in the building. This is going to be an awesome night of music. I can tell. I love your energy. I can tell you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And that's important, because I always tell people, you know, in the different interviews that anyone does and you're discussing a particular topic, if you're not passionate about it, the audience is not going to be passionate about it. They're going to be like, oh, that sounds boring. Mm-hmm. But this, for someone who has no idea what an orchestra is, and I'm limited knowledge on it, it sounds like a great night. It sounds like
we kind of get it popping.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying not to, but we really do. And I think, like I said, like, for people who say, oh, I don't like, that's boring. Like, they come to our concert like, that was so much fun. Because we love it.
Yeah.
And we want you to love it too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Mia. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you really quickly just give everyone the website one last time?
Absolutely.
Before we go?
BlackPearlCO.org.
Be there this afternoon, 4 p.m. at First Cathedral. It's going to be a good time. You're listening to On Your Mind with Mia Mendez. 6 minutes away, I will have special guest Megan Hubert of the Kimball Center, and we're going to be discussing the monthly sit-in and jam session they have. Stay tuned.